Okay, we're continuing in the Sefer Tanya with the commentary of the Chassidus Mevuaris, and we're in the introduction. We're getting close to the end of the introduction. Hope we might finish it today, and if not, for sure next week we'll finish the introduction. And the Rebbe's been discussing a number of factors that can make it very hard for a person to understand even very good Svarim written regarding Avodas Hashem. And there's factors that make it hard to understand it from a sefer as opposed to learning it directly from a teacher. We're in the middle of that third factor. The third factor is that not everybody merits to reveal that part of the Torah that is uniquely designated for his unique soul. And as the tzaddik says, that just as it is in spirituality, which is a much deeper concept, you even find this aspect in the revealed Torah. And that's what he's discussing in that area, that not everyone recognizes their place, their unique place in the esoteric understanding of Torah, the spiritual part of learning Torah, but even in the area of the laws, right at the bottom line. V'nei af behilchus iser v'heter, and even in terms of the laws of iser and heter, permitted, forbidden and permitted, which is the fulfillment of the verse of Haniglos Lanol Vanenu, that the revealed things are for us and for our children. That's the part of the Torah that's easier and more revealed, is the words of the Baal HaTanya now. Motzanu ra'inu machloikes tanoim v'amoroim min ha'kotz l'kotz ha'mamish. We find arguments between the rabbis of the Talmud from one extreme to the other, literally. And those who are learning with us at night, Arvei Psachim, we saw that vividly as the whole discussion of a person makes a bracha in one place and how he leaves the room. Does he have to make a new bracha on the food that he ate? So there were three opinions. One rabbi says he has to make another bracha on the food he ate. Another rabbi says he doesn't have to make another bracha on the food he ate. And a third rabbi says it depends what kind of food you eat. So you have each one of the opinions right there. Right? Machlokas Tanoim, Machlokas Amoraim, and it went down, filtered its way down with the Rishonim, the Rambam versus the Rush, Shulchan Aruch versus the Ramah, straight down, all the way down the realm of Halacha. So you see, even in the most, you know, obvious and overt concepts in Judaism, we find arguments from one extreme to the other. That's what the Baal HaTanya says. So now the Chassidus Mevuaris begins to explain. Hilchos Isser v'Heter hein chelek haTorah asher olav namar. The laws of permitted and not permitted, that's the part of the Torah that says haniglos lanu. That's revealed to us, ulavoneinu lasus, and our children to do. Ki Torah achas u'mishpo echad l'kulanu. For we have one Torah for all of us, one judgment, b'kiyum kol Torah, to keep all the Torah, u'mitzvahs b'b'chines maaseh, in the realm of doing mitzvahs, in the realm of action. It's one Torah for us to do. Perish, what does this mean? Hilchos haTorah nikros gal yeshivatorah. The laws of the Torah, that which you do or don't do, this is called the revealed part of the Torah, from the words haniglos lanu. V'sheini yonim shivamaisa, because they have aspects of doing, lasos, to do. Right? That was the thing that the pasuk says, lanu veinu lasos, to do. Hagluyim l'chol echad ve'echad, that's revealed to each and every Jew. Everyone's equally chayiv in making brachas. There isn't any Jew who's not obliged to make brachas. We're all equally obliged to make brachas. In the brackets it says, but the service of Hashem that's in the heart of a person, peace, orus, avas, Hashem, v'yiroso, from the arousal of love of Hashem and fear of Hashem, which brings you to dveikus to Hashem, which brings you to clinging to Hashem, which is your personal relationship with Hashem, that's nikros nistaros, that's called the hidden part. We'll see a little bit later on that the verse of the Torah says the revealed is for us and our children, and the hidden is for Hashem. That's what the pasuk says, which he'll elaborate on. So really, when you talk about Kabbalah, it isn't really so much the Sisrei Torah, the most difficult and complex parts of Torah. If you learn it properly, you can understand Kabbalah too, because it's really just there to get you to be Davuk Hashem. The whole concept of Kabbalah is to find is to reveal the way for the Jew to cling to Hashem. That's the whole purpose of Kabbalah. So that part as well should be understood, but it's not revealed. What does it mean? What's inside of me others don't see. You can't tell always when a person is davuk to Hashem, when he's clinging to Hashem. It doesn't always have external ways of revealing itself. Sometimes it does, but not always. So now we're going back to the realm of the revealed laws. Even though the laws of the Torah, it's one law, one statute for all of us, where it's supposed to be that way. We see difference of opinions of the rabbis and the Talmud from one extreme to the next. So he's going to explain this, how that can happen. So now the next bow line continues with the Balatanya's words. The Gemara in Erevin says, these and those are the words of the living God. Elokim Chaim, Loshon Rabim, an expression of plurality. What does he mean by that? In other words, the Gemara in Erevin says, Beis Hillel says Osir, Beis Shammai says Mutter. What's going on? Both are the words of the living God. How could it be? This always troubles secular people when they are introduced to this concept. They don't understand. Either guilty or innocent. You're allowed or not allowed. So what do you mean? They're both the words of the living God. So, Al-Cheluke Ha-Deos Ben Chachamenu Zal Isa Gemara Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elohim Chaim. So the Chassidus Mubaris explains this concept of the different opinions of the rabbis and the Talmud, that these and those are the words of the living God. Perishit means the following. Kol Deya V'Deya Shehuva B'Torah. Every opinion that's brought in Torah, hideya amitis, it is a true opinion. It is part of the true Torah that exists. Hainu shidvar Hashem, it is the word of Hashem. It's part of the divrei Elohim chaim. Ukumavurish b'divrei chazal, as it explained in the rabbis of our rabbi, of the words of our rabbis. The Gemara in Chagiga says, Halalu mitamim v'halalu mitarim. These people say the item is tomei, and these people say the item is tor. Halalu eitzim v'halalu matirim. This say it's forbidden, these say it's permitted. Halalu paisim v'halalu machshim. These people say it's possible, this thing, oh, these say it's kosher. Kula nitnam erayecha. They're all given from one shepherd. Kael echad nitnam. One God gave them. Parnes echad amram. One supporter said them. From the master of everything, blessed is he. That's what Mora says. Next page, Laman Alpha. At Shach Laman, we have to understand. Madua daiku chazal loimer al kach divrei Elohim chaim. The question that the Balatanya is hinting to now is, why do we have to reference Hashem as the Elohim chaim? Elu ve'elu, these and those are the words of the Elohim chaim, Loshon Rabim, the expression of plurality of Hashem. He should have said, but why didn't it say, V'lo divrei kel echad, the one God? Or similar expressions, like Yetz B'zeh. Why is it referring, why is Hashem referred to as the plural God, Elohim? Literally, you know, Elokah would mean one God, Elohim means many gods. You have to understand, you know, B'chlal, what's the whole idea of calling Hashem Elohim? Acha'inyin shehu shaloshim z'Elohim chaim, what's the expression of Elohim chaim? So now the next line is the next line of the Balatanya. I'll say mikor ha'chaim l'nishim yisrael. It's talking about the root of life to all the Jewish souls, to which Chassidus Mubaris explains. With this expression, he explains the root of all the different opinions that exist in the laws of the Torah. Dine habir ha'pnimi b'kach shiyesh shem Hashem ha'mishamish b'loshen rabim. The explanation, the deeper explanation of what it means as a name of Hashem that serves in a plural term, such as Elohim, means as follows. Even though Hashem is a simplistic oneness, as we say Hashem Echad, but still, the name Elohim, Moira, it teaches us al mikor hachaim l'nishmas Yisrael. Still explaining where the root of life is for Jewish souls. Beloshen Rabin, an expression of plurality. Meira al-Hachiyus. Oops, I skipped a line. I'm sorry. Hainu, she'ena ribu belokus guva chasom. Not that there's a plurality in the godliness itself, God forbid. No. El she'shem zelokim chaim, but the word of Elohim chaim, living God, beloshen rabbi, in plural, meira al hachius alokis hamutzumtzemas hairedis lios makor l'riba nevroim. It's the root of Hashem that manifests itself as it constricts itself and comes down into this world. That one source becomes a source of lots of plurally different created objects. Hachel, where does it begin from? Minishmas Yisrael, from the Jewish souls. Vad l'chol shar brum ha'merubim, until it reaches all the other creations in the world. In other words, the name Elohim, the plural of Elohim, means is the manifestation of God, the one force of God. There's only one God and only one root. But that root, as we use the analogy of a light passing through a prism, it's one light goes through the prism. But when it comes out of the prism, you get all kinds of different colors. So that already is the fact that there's so many different types of souls, of Jewish souls, Lunishmas Yisrael. It's the, where's the root of that plurality? And where does a person, he feels his unique connection to Hashem, and the other one feels his unique connection to Hashem, and the other one feels his unique connection to Hashem? This is that, the root of that is Hashem, that manifests itself in an apparent plurality of godliness in terms of everyone's different connection to Hashem. And that's what he means. Ubenishmas Yisrael, in the souls of the Jews, kivin shemakarim Elohim Chaim, since the root is from the Elohim Chaim, Yeshriyu Madregos, there's many levels. In other words, this is an unbelievable thing, that from a one God can still, you know, no different in a certain way. You know, one person can do many activities. Still one person. It's not the best analogy. But the one Hashem, a perfect oneness, when Hashem's presence evolves into this world, that one pure light now hits into this world in a way that it creates this plurality in individuals and differences of reality in this world that are coming, that are now manifest in different types of characteristics and feelings, etc., etc. So, not just beyond the simple answer that the footnote at the bottom gives us in the words Elohim, because Elohim also is a reference, as the we learned in the Nefesh HaChaim.
Idols.
What?
Idols.
No.
Well, that's what they called it. Elohim.
That's when you're not saying Hashem's name. When it's not Hashem's name, but it's a borrowed term. But we're talking about Hashem as Elohim. It means he's the master of all forces. The Baal HaKochos Kulam. He's the master of all forces. And that's why the one God is still the master of every force. There's many forces in the world, but Hashem is the master of all those forces. So just like it's regarding forces, you know, you could have sun and you could have rain. You could have hot, you can have cold. There's manifestations of an apparent plurality of God's forces. That's how it looks like in this world. And that's why Hashem made it that way. But this beginning point is one. So just like it is in terms of the physical forces that exist in the world, so now the Baal Tanya is explaining that Hashem is the root of all the different types of souls, where it appears, how could there be one God with so many different souls? No, but that's the miracle of creation, that he's able, with the one force, the one initial Hashem, to have all these forces that come out after that. Now, where do they go? The Baal Tanya continues, Hanechlokos derech klal ishlosh hakavim. God's force, as it leaves the uniqueness of the oneness, it generally goes in three directions. Yamin u'smol ve'emtza, right, left, and middle. Shem chesed u'gvur and tiferes, which reflect kindness, control, and glory. In other words, it's one God, but he can manifest 10 different characteristics of the 10 spheros. And from the different manifestations of the spheros, it's all one God, but the one God manifests from him different powers. And from those different powers come different neshamas. That's the Baal HaTanya. Explains the Chassidus Mevoris. Makor HaChaim L'Nishmas Yisrael. What do we mean that he's the root of life for the souls of the Jews? Shezeh Yonim Shoshem Elohim. That's the concept of the name Elohim. Who midosav shal kodesh baruch hu. It's the attributes of Hashem, of chesed and gevur and the ten spheres. V'vishim midosav yisbaruch hainheinam akor le'inam ha'ischalkos v'ribu. It's the characteristics of Hashem that manifest in this world. It's the root of all the divisions and differences and multiplicity that's in this world. You have, for example, you have a bird that's called a chasida bird. It's the type of bird called a chasida bird. Why? Because it does kindness with its own kind. It does kindness with its own kind, as opposed to other birds that don't. Where does that come from? It comes from the attribute of chesed being manifest in that type of bird. On the other hand, you have an REA, you have a lion, that has the same letters, as well, same letters, you mix them around as what? Yira. So that comes from Hashem's aspect of Gvura. So Hashem uses Gvura to make an Aryeh. On the other hand, he uses Chesed to make the Chasida bird. So you find that through the qualities that Hashem manifests in the world, you see all the differences. Continuing back inside, Umavur b'sifrei Kabbalah, Shamidus al Yonas nichluku l'shlosha kavim tzvarim. It says in the Kabbalah's forum that the higher attributes of Hashem are divided into three sides, as it were. Three points. Okay, and that's what it says in the bottom, in 19. It says Hashem created three tenuos, movements, that all of creation and everything in the world boils down to these three movements. It's the right side, which is the movement of expansionism, the left side, which is the movement of constraint, and the middle side, which is a balance of the two. So those are the three general, as I'm going to say upstairs, a chesed, kindness is bekava yamin on the right side, hagvura bekava small, control is on the left side, umidas hatiferes bekava mtsoi, and tiferes is in the middle, which is the middle ground. So just like those are the initial forces, v'chol achas minishus shol nimshachas meachas mishol shamidas alolam. So therefore, each of the souls of the Jewish people, in a general way, are some type of permutation of these three qualities. Okay, therefore the souls are divided into different categories, based on their root. It's Hashem sends divine energies of qualities to different people in different ways. He showered a certain group of people with much more of the characteristic of chesed, others with much more of the characteristic of gevura, and others with much more of the synthesis of the two of tiferes. And that's the way Hashem gave you that neshama. He gave you such a neshama. And Hashem wanted it to be that way. Next page. Lamed Beis. Continuing with the words of the Balatanya. Uneshamas sheshrashim amidas chesed. So now let's say a soul that's been rooted in strong doses of kindness. Hanhogasam gamkein lahatas klapa chesed. So their conduct will naturally draw them to lean towards kindness. Lahakal, to be, let's say, lenient in halacha, kenoda as is known. That is what the Balatanya says. Explains the Chassidus Mevoras. This now becomes the reason for the difference of opinions amongst the rabbis. Because based on the root soul of each person, that's the nature of his intellect, and that's what he says. The nishmasun sheshrashim amidas chesed, and a soul that's rooted in kindness, hanhagoso gamkein lahatos klape chesed, his conduct is going to be towards being kind and to be lenient. V'chein lehepach on the opposite, nishmas sheshrashim amidas gevura notos la'achmer, the souls that are leaning towards a control are leaning towards being stringent in the law. Kamo, for example, you find, Beishamai, we always know, shesharish nishmasum abechina small elyon. The root of the souls of Shammai and his students was from the attribute of the left side, which is control. That's why they always judge stringency when it came to anything in the Torah. Which on the other extreme, the right side, which is kindness, they would judge favorably to be lenient and to permit that which Beis Shammai did not permit. That they made permitted things that Beis Shammai said was not permitted. Now, You gotta understand, very important, footnote 22 is very important here. Because you can make a big mistake over here. He says, Eina kavona shebeis hillel hekilu beisham echmiro mitzad teva chesed vagvur shebelev. Don't think that this means that Hillel was lenient and Shammai was strict because of their natures that was in their heart. There's a difference in the nature and the heart and what he's, the Baal Tanya is talking about. Kipshita shepiske halachash b'torah miyusedes ach v'rak achachma v'seichel. Because when we decide Jewish law, we do not decide what my heart feels. We decide it on what the intellect decides. Very important point over here. You can't say, ah, oh, you know, for example, Hilcha Shabbos, the guy's so poor, he says, Rebbe, can I work on Shabbos? Oh, I feel so bad for you. This is other types of Judaism, not Torah Judaism. Other types of Judaism that is not Judaism at all. Ah, we feel so bad for people. Okay, you know what? You could drive to Shul on Shabbos. You don't have to keep so much. It's too hard to keep Yiddishkeit. We're like Shammai. We're lenient. We follow the rules of Shammai. See, that's where these people, they'll take a piece of Gemara and adulterate it. We see the law is like Shammai. So the law is according to these Jews who feel we have to be lenient on the Jews because our hearts go out for them. You don't base law on heart at all. Your emotions do not dictate halacha. Now, your emotions will dictate your behavior in interpersonal relationships, but not halacha. You're not going to decide if you work on Shabbos or not based on emotion. And that's what they don't want you to think, that Hillel was a real emotional guy one way and Shammai was emotional the other way, and they let their emotions dictate what their psak halacha was. No way. Ela kavona, but what does the Baal HaTanya mean? Shebeseichel atzmo, that in the intellect itself, which is sourced in the energies that Hashem has put into your brain. Okay, that third level of soul that's called the neshama, that rests in the brain, and that Hashem gives you a certain inclination of neshama, that is the inclination of what your brain is thinking. Now, Hashem gives you inclinations of feelings and emotions too, but that's not when we're talking about halacha. We're talking about the inclinations of the brain. He says, Yesh netiyas, there are inclinations, l'chesed l'gvura, for kindness or control. Chemotzinu chalukadei, because b'svara, we find different opinions in logic. Yesh asich l'mnoite l'hakov, yesh hanoitim l'hachmer. There are those whose intellect bends to be lenient or to be strict. The root of these changes are in the intellect, which depends on the type of root soul they have. Okay, so it's a very important distinction. It's not that Hillel just happened to be a merciful fellow. He was a kind fellow, and Shammai was not a kind fellow. Shammai was just as kind as Hillel. Shammai would have just as much rachmonus on another Jew. You know, even though you know the stories in Masechet Shabbos, the three famous stories where the goy comes to Shammai and says, convert me to Judaism while I stand on one leg. And Shammai hits him with a builder's level and throws him out. While Shammai says, come here, let me, you know, whatever you don't want, the whole Torah one leg, whatever you don't want to have done to you, don't do to others. The rest is just commentary. And he goes and brings him close to Yiddishkeit. So you're going to say, ah, see, Shammai was a really mean guy. That's what he was. He was a bitter soul. Hillel was a kind fellow. And that's how they decided their halachas. You cannot say that. Because, you know, in Pirkei Avos, what is Shammai famous for? What saying of Shammai? Have you makabalist kol ha'odim b'sever upon him yafos? You have to greet everybody with a very pleasant countenance. Shammai wasn't a two-faced liar, God forbid. He says you have to accept everybody with a smiling countenance. And I'm sure when the goy came to Shammai, he gave him a big smile. But then when the goy says, convert me this way, so then Shammai's intellect says, intellectually, this is not possible. This is not possible intellectually. And I'll show you why it's not possible. Because you want to be converted on one leg, as we recall many years ago, we said over a beautiful pshat, and what does that mean to convert someone on one leg? You know, why does a convert want to become a Jew? Because they believe in Hashem so much? They have bitachon Hashem? Nah. It's because they intellectually decided that Judaism is a good thing for them. You know, so there's intellect. This is what makes sense to me. So Shammai was saying to him, you want to be a Jew as an intellectual? That's not a balanced approach to Yiddishkeit. So he gives it to him with a building level to say, you don't have a leveled approach here, my friend. You don't have a level. My attribute of justice says that you have a not level approach. And therefore, we can't accept you if you have that approach. Okay? You have to have other aspects as well. You have to understand what emunah in Hashem is. That things that don't make sense, you have to accept also. Till you come to that, we're not ready to take you. Shammai Hillel, on the other hand, says, no, even if he comes with the wrong approach, there is an intellectual concept of chesed that we can apply that might be able to convert it. So it wasn't because, you know, Shammai was a grouchy, mean guy. And since he was a tough guy, he was tough on all people. He had a show chesed just like anybody else had a show chesed. But in the intellectual realm, his mind says we have to act with justice. It's from the mind, not from the heart. Now there are people who decide things from the heart. But we're talking about, and that intellectual comes when the person opens himself up to the shefa, to the flow that Hashem puts into him. Hashem endowed him with an intellect that focuses on gvura, while Hillel was given intellect that focuses on chesed. And they're both right. Those are both aspects that are true. It's coming from the same place. And in certain aspects, this is correct, and in certain aspects, that is correct. Yes, or Paul?
So when the widow approaches the rabbi about the chicken, whether it's kosher or not, versus the beer,
So when the widow approaches the rabbi and asks the shaila, as opposed to the rich man who asks the shaila, so now the rabbis have to understand what the halachos are, and if they already see that through time there are different opinions, so now the intellect says that, and really every posek has to have within himself understanding where to apply chesed and where to apply gvura. We can't, if the widow says, it's hard for me to make a living, can you give me a dispensation not keep Shabbos anymore? And the rich man says, I need to make more money, can you give me a dispensation not keep Shabbos? He has to give the same answer to both of them. You have to keep Shabbos. But when there already is different opinions in a certain area, in the halachas of a chicken, it's not that the rabbi is saying that this not kosher chicken, according to all opinions, we now say it's kosher. Let's say the chicken, they showed the chicken to the rabbi and it was missing a lung. So no matter who you are, it's not kosher. But if it's a situation where there's an argument amongst the rabbis already based on their intellect, then one's intellect says it's kosher, one's intellect says it's not kosher. Once we already have previous generations that worked through that, now the Rav has to know which opinion to apply in which situation.
But is that decision intellectual still, or is there an emotional?
It has nothing to do with emotional. It's nothing to do with emotional. The Torah says you have to be kind to people that are poor. So now if there's a machlokes in what the psak halacha is, so now you have to understand where to apply for each person what it is. It could be some widows who are very happy, even if they're poor, throw away the chicken. You have to know that person and that person's neshama, what they can respond to in their own lives in halacha. You have to be able to know what kind of neshamas you have in your kehillah. What part of Torah will they be able to resonate with? It's a tough job. Tough job being a rabbi. You know, this person's a chesed person. This person's a gvura person. So people get offended when rabbis are judging their kehillah. And they don't understand a rabbi has to, because if he doesn't, he doesn't know how to paskin for them. Do you understand? Understand? People say, you know, the rabbi's looking at us. He's judging what kind of person. He has to know if you're emotionally strong or you're emotionally not strong. Because he can't give you an emotionally strong psak if you're not emotionally strong to take it. Do you understand? So what? The rabbi, he's always looking at us. He looks at us and tries to understand who we are, and he thinks I'm a kinder person, and he thinks the other guy's not such a kind person. That's his job. He has to know his clientele. He has to know them. He has to know what is their shirish and neshama. Where is their neshama going back to? So a tzaddik like the Baal HaTanya, he would look at someone from his chassim. He knew exactly where his soul came from. And he says, your kind of soul, you need this type of avodas Hashem. And they'd be grateful to him. They'd be grateful to him. So you don't think I don't notice certain people that they work with midas gvura? So that's the way you conduct your life. So I'll give you psak halachas like that. And it's good for them. It's good for them. They enjoy it. And others who are working from chesed, they need psak piskei halacha to work on chesed. And it's good for them. And it's no contradiction. Now, when it's osur, it's osur though. No matter who asks me, can I work on Shabbos? I'll tell everyone, you cannot work on Shabbos. My mercy, even though, what did Chavetz Chaim say to somebody once, right? Chavetz Chaim said, if it was my Shabbos, I would let you work on Shabbos. If I was the one who made Shabbos, I would give it to you. But the thing is, Hashem gave you the Shabbos, and I can't be merciful on Hashem Shabbos. Okay, if there's already a machlokas in the rabbis as to how far the halacha of Shabbos goes in a certain area, is this thing muktzah or not? And there's already a debate if it's muktzah or not. So you can be lenient to the person and say, okay, we'll be lenient. Right? So that depends again on the situation. Right? So it's not that we're using our mercy. This, the halacha, I hate to use the word, is cold and calculating. But there are rules that you have to follow. Within the rules, there's room to maneuver. Within the rules to the people based on the neshamas that they have, and it's not any contradiction.
And one of the rules is to recognize the individual.
That is the job of the posek, is to be able to understand what to tell these people. So if someone has a shorish neshama of chesed, you're more inclined to give them the psak halacha of Hillel. If Hillel says to be lenient in this area of halacha, that person's soul probably would relate to Hillel's psak halacha. And if the guy is more of a gvura guy, don't worry, Rabbi, you can be very strict on me. I'm happy. It's my pleasure. Because that person has a neshama that's coming from the same place that Shammai's was coming from, but to a lesser degree, obviously. It's a very tricky point. But you cannot let your emotions decide a halacha. The Torah says you have to have compassion on the widow. Not because I have compassion. Hashem says there's a halacha, I have to have compassion. I don't have to, my emotions are dictated by what Hashem says my feelings have to be. I have to treat the woman with compassion because she's a widow. That's the law. So now I have to deal with the law. I have to deal with what the law says. I have to find a leniency for her. Not that I have compassion on her. It's a fine line, but this can be blown way out of text, and you can take Judaism and rip it apart with this. Rip it apart. So you have to understand, that's that footnote, it's coming from their intellect. In the brackets, continuing now. Therefore the rabbi said, these and those are the words of the living God. Because the differences of opinions of the rabbis of the Talmud comes from the differences of the roots of their souls in their supernal characteristics. That's the idea of the living God. Lashon Rabbim, the plural. Because he's the root of all the different opinions that are in the Torah. Next page, Lamed Gimel. V'nimtza comes out. So even in the revealed part of the Torah, which you think is so much easier, there's a difference between the Jewish people. Because the intellect of the wise men of Israel depended on the root of their souls. So Hashem B'davka wanted different intellectual understandings of Torah. And he created different intellectual understandings of Torah. like I said last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever, by lighting Hanukkah candles. Lighting Hanukkah candles. So Hillel says you start with one and you go up to eight. Shammai says you go from eight, you go down to one. You can't be more opposite one than the other than that. That's as opposite as you get. What do? I light eight. I light one. So who's right? The answer is they're both right. What do you mean they're both, be right? The answer is, what do Hanukkah candles represent? What does fire represent? What does fire represent? You have these war shock tests. They give you a picture. What do you see? Okay, now you see fire. Now talk about emotional now. Intellectually you see fire. So what do you intellectually understand fire to be? What's the purpose of fire in this world? You tell me.
Destruction.
What'd you say?
Destruction.
Destruction. It burns, it destroys. Now what kind of mind thinks that way?
A warrior.
What kind of mind? A mind of chesed and kindness and expansiveness? Or a mind of power and control? If you look at life from the perspective of, which is one of God's perspectives, there's an aspect of defining things, being in control, judging, punishing, rooting out evil. So what is fire to you? It consumes. That is a characteristic of consumption. And therefore, it burns out. So now, when you apply it, that's what fire is. So now, what is the fire of Hanukkah supposed to do? What's the fire of Hanukkah? There's a light of Hanukkah. So how does that fit into Hanukkah? Hanukkah, we destroyed the Greeks. What were the Greeks? The Greeks were a false ideology. It was poison of the mind. So what was Hanukkah? We destroyed the poison of the mind. So now you start with a lot of poison on the first day, the eighth day, and every day you remove more, you consume more poison till there's no poison left. Now you're going to tell me that's your interpretation. No, that's the reality. That's reality. Fire consumes, right? So you consume, what is a Jew? Jew has to consume false ideologies. So we move down, go down. On the other hand, what else could fire be?
Light.
Light is illumination. Now who's gonna think that way? Someone with an expansive mind. A mind of kindness. This fire can do a kindness. And guess what? The fire can do both at the same time. It will consume this branch. And illuminate at the same time. You're going to say one's right and one's wrong. They're both right. And therefore, when you're talking about that, so now what are you supposed to experience on Hanukkah as well? You're supposed to experience more light, more intelligence of the correct light. So therefore, we want to increase that intelligence as Hanukkah happens. So at the same time, you want to increase correct intelligence. You want to decrease false intelligence. And that's happening at the same time. So now, why does one look at it one way? Because that's the kind of root soul God put into Shammai's brain and Hillel's brain. Now who's right? Everybody's right. So now the only question is, how do we decide the law? How do we decide? Okay, so guess what? What do you tell every other Jew in the world who doesn't know what they're thinking? You know, and God says, I want you to know that these are both right. And neither one would really be wrong. Neither one is really wrong. How could you say that one is right and one is wrong? Everything in the world, God made everything in the world, chesed and gvura. There's always two sides to everything. As long as you, now don't misapply the concept, every Hanukkah we burn, the first night of Hanukkah we burn eight Christian homes down. Second night we burn seven Christian homes down. No, you can't use your intellect for that. That's a false interpretation. As much as the Christians use that for very good interpretation against the Jews. Right? So that already is a false application of the concept. That's already the Christians left their emotions. We have to kill all the Jews to say that our religion is correct. So now they gotta say, okay, we have to tell all Jews what are we supposed to do. We can't have in one house eight and one house one. We just can't have that. So they have to decide where is Klal Yisrael in general, which midah are they working with as a majority? What's the midah, what's the measure that we have to live with to survive this exile? So we have to live more with understanding Hashem through kindness. So therefore the Psak Halacha, there more people will relate with kindness than not. So we're going to do it this way. But when Mashiach comes, what's going to happen? All of a sudden everything changed? Yeah, because we'll be a lot smarter. And we'll be able to understand Hashem's ways clearer, and we'll be able to work it the opposite way. You understand? It's not any tricks going on over here. And that's the way Hashem wants it. Because the whole idea is not to be so narrowly focused on reality. Hashem creates a balance in reality. Right? And Hashem wants us to understand all the aspects of reality. And the truth is, there's 70 faces to reality. To get the full picture, there's 70 interpretations on every word of the Torah. Hashem, that's how perfect this world is. There's 70 aspects of it. And study hard enough, you'll find all 70 aspects. But you can't do 70 different things at the same time. Doing, you can only do one thing. So now you have to understand, where is the root of your neshama in terms of doing that? So all that was said regarding halacha, it's the same thing regarding your avodas Hashem. Same thing avodas Hashem. Now, so just like that's very complex halacha, so now let's start talking about Jewish souls, where it's not in the realm of halacha. Let's go back to our relationship with Hashem. So everyone's going to have a different way of relating to Hashem. If you have a neshama of chesed, you're going to relate one way. You have a neshama of gvura a different way. And that's what makes it much more complex, which we'll finish off that concept next week, Amir Tzashem.